was. Listen to God's word. It's found in the Holy Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us sing.
Thank you.
We have some families away for a retreat weekend, and we hope that they return home having a grand time, safe. In God's most holy name, amen. I begin this morning with a brief history review. In 1987, Slobodan Milosevic had complete control of the Serbian Communist Party. He then exploited an extreme form of Serbian national sentiment, attempting to impose a dictatorial regime in all of Yugoslavia. This, in turn, encouraged extreme nationalism in the non-Serbian population of Yugoslavia. Franjo Tudjman came to power in Croatia in 1990. He instituted a policy of discrimination against the ethnic Serbs, which was 18% of the population. The new Croatian constitution changed Serbian legal status from constitutional nationality to ethnic minority. Milosevic, already following aggressive action in the environment of extreme Serbian nationalism, felt justified to extend that aggressiveness by defending the Serbs in Croatia. The ethnic Serbs in Croatia formed a separate state on Croatian territory, and a 1991 war broke out. It quickly spread to Bosnia and Herzegovina. Serbs fought Bosnians and Croatians. Croatians fought Serbs, later Bosnians. Bosnians in time were forced to fight both the Serbs and the Croatians. In November of 1995, the war ended with the signing of the Dayton Agreement. And out of this agreement came the nation states Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Serbia, Macedonia, Montenegro, and Kosovo. In the middle of this was Gordana. Her husband, son, daughter-in-law, and little granddaughter. Gordana is a Roman Catholic and Croatian. Her husband is Orthodox, a Serb. They live near the Croatian capital of Zagreb, in a decidedly urban setting. Gordana worked for the government, a mid-level position, in what could be described as a 1991 high-tech public servant. She and her husband owned their own home, owned their own automobile. They were part of Croatia's growing middle class. When the war started, she was told she must wear a uniform. She said she would not do this. Soon, government employees were asked to bring in special household items and clothing for the army in its conducting the war. She said it wasn't her war. She didn't believe in the war. She would not do this. Gordana was immediately fired from her job. A short time later, the police came to her door, asked her outside, and asked for the family's automobile. It was in her husband's name. She said no. The police sergeant took out his pistol from its holster, counted out one bullet, and told her to go into the house and kill her husband. She absolutely refused to do this. She told the police, handing back the pistol and the bullet, that they should kill her instead. She was immediately arrested and taken away. She remained in the prison for a time. No one was allowed to see her. Finally, a police captain came to her cell and told her in clear language that no one leaves this prison alive. No one. He left. The same police captain comes back to her later, says to Gordana that she needs to go now. Take her family. Go out of Croatia as soon as she can. She walked out of the prison that no one came out of alive. At home, everyone was thankful to see her, and everyone was quite frightened. She asked, "We must leave soon. Where do you want to go?" "Europe? No. England? No. Australia? No. Canada? No. America? Yes." Gordana starts the process, a process leading to visas being issued. 3 weeks or more go by. They're called to the consulate. They're asked again, "Where do you want to go?" The whole family says, "America." "Where?" They say, "We're not rural people. We want to go to a city." They were told they have a place. Milwaukee, in the state of Wisconsin. Gordana and her family is sponsored through a local Lutheran congregation through the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. The congregation initially feeds, clothes, provides housing for the entire family. It supports all of them until Gordana and her family become self-supporting. Green cards are obtained. They become naturalized citizens. They buy a beautiful home. And then one day, suddenly, Gordana's husband dies of a massive heart attack. They lose their home. They buy another very run-down home in a run-down area. Gordana goes to work as a housemaid. Her granddaughter works the same place. And now all of them, Gordana, son, daughter-in-law, granddaughter, are pulling together all their resources. In high school, Gordana's granddaughter was selected for a special nationwide week-long symposium in Washington, D.C. My niece's daughter was also a part of this. The granddaughter is in Marquette now. Cardano's journey to America was fed all along its way. A very strong faith fed her. Her obvious courage and resilience fed her. The love she had for her family, the family's love for her, fed her. The police captain, whose grace allowed her to walk out of the prison where no one came out alive, fed her. American consul employees fed her. The Christian foundations that make the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service a powerful presence of Christ fed her. The local Lutheran congregation that sponsored Gordana and her family fed her with her love that took the form of food and clothing, housing, job hunting, transportation. The local Serbian Orthodox congregation fed her and the family as they became fully aware of their needs and the crisis the family was going through here in the city of their choice, in the country of their choice. I'd like to believe that Roman Catholics, Serbian Orthodox, smattering of Jews, a few Muslims, and Protestant Christians fed Gordana and her family manna. That in some way or another, Jesus had provided them as if in a miracle of compassion and grace. And this is how Gordana came to room 113, extended stay hotel off the North Avenue here in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. She is the housemaid that cleans my room every Saturday afternoon. The story of the loaves and fishes appears in all four gospel accounts of Jesus of Nazareth. Most scholars say that this is an early church story and is a foundation story for what we call Holy Communion, Eucharist, the Holy Meal. It is hard to argue with that interpretation. All this pastor knows is that Jesus has just been told that John the Baptist has been murdered. Deeply upset, he withdraws to what is called in various texts a desolate place, a desert place, a wilderness. His disciples and a crowd follow him. The wilderness is a place of ritual beginning in the Jewish faith. Abraham in the wilderness. Isaac in the wilderness, Moses in the wilderness, Jacob in the wilderness. It is steeped with multi-layered meaning. And this is true for we who struggle to understand it. And it was true for Jesus, who in his Jewish beliefs knew the wilderness's many messages. So Jesus, upon hearing that Rome, through its stooge Herod, had killed John the Baptist, goes into the wilderness. In the Gospel of Matthew, which is the most Jewish of the four Gospels, the people who go on errands into the wilderness, both early in the Gospel and late in the Gospel, go out to encounter God's intervention against the empire or to recover from the empire's retaliation against God's people. The Hebrew word for wilderness is midar, M-I-D-A-R. The word means a place away from words, a wordless place, a stark, silent place where people do not live, where animals and plants conserve moisture, moving little in the daytime. In this story, the crowds and Jesus are in the Midbar, a place away from words, a place that has not yet heard and responded to God's call to order, to beauty, and to mutuality. As one commentator puts it, no wonder the people were hungry. Jesus providing food in that Midbar, Jesus providing food in that desert place, is the nurturing seed in the scarred devastation and the deep isolation and darkness following the terrible event of John the Baptist's murder. It may be a physical place, an emotional place, a physical place, a spiritual place, but it's a dark, stark, terrible place with no word. If you want to know how this Midbar feels, read the book of Lamentations. Try to understand Jerusalem sitting lost and lonely in that book. If you want to understand what this Midbar stark, dark isolation is, read Ida Fink's stories of the Holocaust and sense the stark, dark, devastating place of death and hopelessness. If you want to understand what this Midbar feels like, read about the lost boys of Sudan, wandering for years, trying to escape the devastation of civil war that killed their parents and their relatives. If you want to understand how this Midbar feels, go to Croatia between 1991 and 1995 and smell, hear, see the devastation, isolation, the horrible darkness of hate. In the wilderness, the Midbar, Jesus provides food for everyone in the place who knows no word. This food is abundant beyond imagination. But Jesus does not feed the crowd. The disciples do that. Gordana on her journey was fed by disciples. Disciples who took the food in forms of hope, compassion, love, support, and fed Gordana and her family all the way from outside Zagreb, Croatia, to Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, the United States of America. This taking the food Jesus provides us and feeding it to others hungry for life and hope is called discipleship. All of us are called to be disciples. Feeding others the abundant, life-giving, life-saving food of Jesus are what we ought to do. There are many more Gordanas and families waiting somewhere in a Midbar, someplace, perhaps even close to here, waiting to be fed the food of Jesus. Jesus provides the food. We are to do the feeding. Amen. And amen.